Hi, everybody. Anna here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Anna and Susanna Show. As many of you know, we've changed up our format a bit. Susanna and I felt called to go a bit spiritually deeper during our talks with each other, but we still wanted to laugh and make fun of things like Mariah Carey at the same time. I guess you consider our new format a Bible study that goes off the rails. Sometimes really far off the rails, so put on your seatbelt. We want you to know that we see your messages and emails, and we're so encouraged and thankful by your loving, kind words and support. If you love the show, could you do us a favor? First, subscribe to us through iTunes, and then give us a quick rating and review. If you think a friend or family member may enjoy the show or be encouraged by it, please share us with them. It's an honor to spend our Wednesdays with you. With that out of the way, buckle up, ladies and men. The Anna and Susanna Show is coming up next.
Hey, baby, I know you've had a hard day. Packing lunches, folding laundry, getting the oil changed in the caravan. Or maybe you've spent 8 hours in the cubicle with that jerk boss looking over your shoulders. Settle down, pour a glass of red, kick your shoes off, and forget about your cares, baby. It's time for the Anna and Susanna Show.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Anna and Susanna Show. This is Anna Lynn Thomas, the founder of the funny website for women, Ha-Ha's for Hoo-Ha's.
And this is Susanna B. Lewis of Whoa, Susanna. Welcome to the Anna and Susanna Show.
Well, I tell you, Susanna, it's interesting because I have discovered that in the past week, or even the past couple weeks, I have been faced head on with each of these verses and tested in my life. I can tell you I failed most of them. if it was an exam, I was in the D range with how I handled things these past couple of weeks. But here's the glory, here's the goodness of God is that I recognized it and was able to correct course fairly quickly.
Absolutely. Right.
So, as you guys know, I'll just jump right into it. As you guys know, I've got my agent is shopping my book. And last week was a really wonderful day. It was the day that she was going to begin calling all of the editors at these big publishing houses. And I was on top of the world, and she was checking in with me and letting me know that it was getting a really incredible reception, and she expects to get some responses next week. And I was on cloud nine. And I was so thankful to God with how he wasn't making me suffer much. Let's just put it this way. Like, my faith wasn't getting very like, it was just coming together, and I was just so grateful and thankful.
Yeah.
And then I it was like a storm cloud of the devil rolled in.
From cloud nine. To thundercloud.
To thundercloud clapping. And it was almost comical where it was just like, really? So this is how I'm going to get attacked now? And it wasn't the end of the world, but it was something happened that was shocking behind my back, and it felt like a betrayal, even though it really wasn't about me. And it hurt my feelings, and it was kind of scary, and everything is okay. Again, it's not the end of the world, but it was like, it triggered me into so much anger and so much rage. And here we have this, you know, two weeks ago, we were talking about forgiveness, and then we were talking about the power of prayer. I did neither of those things when confronted, which what I should have done is I should have walked away and prayed.
Yeah.
And instead I dove right into my rage, and I was mean, and I tore this person down, and I was nasty because they deserved it, or so I felt in the moment. And I just felt like this day is ruined, this week is ruined. How am I going to fix this problem that arose? And again, this person just made a mistake. No one was out to purposely betray me and hurt me, but they made a mistake and then tried to cover it up that caused damage. Well, whatever. Anyway,
It wasn't good.
And
that covers all. That's an umbrella term.
There you go. It wasn't good.
Okay.
I just try not to be dramatic, but then give away so many details that you hurt people's privacy. So, yeah. Anyway, long story short, I reached out to Susanna. I was like, please pray over this situation, because I feel like a storm cloud's come in and it is blowing things up and I'm kind of losing control. And she did. And I started to feel some peace about it, and I was able to step back from the anger. And it was kind of like right around the time Susanna did pray, I felt this feeling that said it's okay to be hurt. It's not okay to be mean. And you were very, very, very mean. And so I went to this person and I said, I was so sorry. I said, I think it's okay that I'm hurt, but it was not okay how mean I was. You didn't deserve that. And I didn't mean it. And those things I said are not true about you. And I want us to figure out how we're going to get up and move on from this. And so the other person, of course, was receptive and apologetic, and we were able to really talk and figure out a way to fix things for the future. And I just prayed and I was thankful, and it helped. Because let me tell you something, if that wouldn't have happened, this could have been a drama that could have lasted at least 2 weeks and really put a rain cloud over what is supposed to be a wonderful week.
Right, right.
So I was living testimony that these things work and help, and if you can pray about them and pray over the situation, have other people pray over your situation, and then forgive, it's just amazing. I mean, life's too short. Move up, move forward, you know. So yeah. Which is going to lead beautifully into this next verse, but I don't want to get into that too much yet. So listen, if you guys are the praying type, please be which I hope you are, please be praying for me and this, what God's going to do with this book deal, and that it just goes to the right publisher and that everything kind of works out in its way. Because really what I want to do with this pregnancy book is, you know, a lot of the way we feel like we bless people, Susanna, is through making them laugh. Right. And so but it's not only a humor book. I really want to get to the heart of pregnancy, because a lot of women really struggle through pregnancy and they feel alone or they feel isolated or it's really, really hard, while other women seem to just be joyously skipping right through it. And so I've also experienced those miscarriages. And so I want it to be a funny book that also brings a lot of joy and peace to pregnant women. And so I really, you know, I want people to be blessed through it. And so anyway, just pray for me, you guys. It's an interesting time. I've worked really hard to get to this point, and here it is. And so if you could just put a little shout out to the good Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I would appreciate it. So I've had a big couple of weeks. Susanna, tell me what's been going on with you.
Well, we had a big weekend. Excuse me. We had a big, Anna and I always talk about, before we record, I get phlegm in my throat every time. All day I've been walking around the house with no phlegm. And then as soon as we push record, all of a sudden I have some kind of attack.
I rebuke the devil
right now.
She's like a podcasting version of like Christina Aguilera before she goes. She's like, she's got to really go through the rounds before we're able to hit record.
I do. I have to warm up before I hit record. It's ridiculous. This is why I don't have, I've not been asked to do a radio show, I guess. Okay. Anyway, it's been a real big, how do you recover from that? It's been a real big weekend over here. My daughter, you know, plays the piano. And so this weekend was piano week, recital week and everything. And it's always a real special time for us because, you know, my mother was a wonderful pianist, and that's who got her into piano. At 2 years old, she was teaching her songs. So it's a real special time for me to reflect on my mom. And it was always my mom's favorite weekend of the year, recital weekend. So this week, weekend on Saturday, she was asked by her piano teacher. She was chosen as one of the only one of her students to be in local auditions. And so she did that at our local university here in a big, beautiful, grand piano room. And she played three songs and she was judged and she was ranked as superior, which is a really big deal. And she was asked to play in the state conference this summer. So this summer she will be playing piano with the best of the best from the state. Wow. And ranked in that. So that's, I'm really proud of her, and it's really impressive. And she inherited all of that musical talent from my mother for sure. And then yesterday we had the piano recital, and she played two songs. She played a duet with her piano teacher, Linus and Lucy from Snoopy. She played that one, and they did really well on that one. And then she had a beautiful solo that she did, and It just brings tears to my eyes when she plays. I just really feel like my mama is near, you know, and I'm so thankful to, you know, hearing my mama play piano my entire life. And I played a little bit too. I took lessons as a kid, but then kind of got out of it. And I was never nearly anywhere as good as my mama. But you know, when mama died, I thought I'm going to miss hearing her play the piano so much. That was so much of my childhood and my entire life. And so now it's kind of like I still have that when she sits down and plays the piano and at her recitals and stuff. It's just a real comforting feeling that I still can hear somebody beautifully play the piano in my home, you know? Yeah. So it's been a special weekend, and I'm just really proud of her. And she's just such a good, well-rounded kid.
She is multi-talented.
She really is. And I know people probably get tired of me bragging on her all the time, but I can't help it. Just musically, she's talented, athletic. She's got great athletic ability in softball and basketball. Not to mention, she's a genius. She's in gifted classes. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's just, the Lord is really, I don't deserve that kind of kid. I'll just tell you that, but the Lord's really blessed us with her.
I think, you know, what I've never met her, but it's the feeling I get from her is that she just, it may not even be an inherent talent as much as she does when she decides to do something, she does it with all her heart.
She does. That's right. She really does. She's motivated. She is determined. When she, with her pitching, for instance, with softball, when she was going through a slump and wasn't doing well, she just got up and worked and worked. And was determined, I'm not going to let this be the best I can be. And now she's pitching great. And she's just a great, and most importantly, she's just got the light of Christ in her. She is just such a compassionate, loving child. She's got voluntarily puts up Bible verses in her room and reads her Bible. And, you know, she just loves the Lord at such a young age. And she's just, gosh, she's a good kid. She's just a good kid.
Wow. Good for her. Good for her. What a doll.
Proud of her. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so have you been at all tested, or am I the only one with like a sword of righteousness trying to Game of Thrones my way through my day to day?
It's just you, Anna. Sorry.
I'm all by myself.
Oh gosh, I struggle struggle every day. Every day I go to bed with regrets every day, and praise God, his mercy is new every morning, because I fail on a daily basis, even with these kids, even as perfect as my daughter is, she still, you know, leaves her crap on the floor and I step on it and I have to get mad and yell at her. And I'm like, oh, she's such a good kid, but she left this crap on the floor.
Right.
You know? So yeah, we're all on the struggle bus, I guess.
It is, you know, it's just, I'm thankful for it because, and I don't know the verse, but, and I'd love to talk about this maybe next time, but one of the messages we learned in church this past Sunday is James is telling you to be thankful for all of your obstacles. In fact, you should hope that you're getting just hit every which way, because that provides the training.
Perseverance. Period. That be thankful for your sufferings, for it produces perseverance. Yes.
Exactly. Yep. And so it's just one of those things where, you know, there have been a few times where I've been lucky enough to have the peace of mind that when things go super wrong, that I can almost laugh about it and be like, thank you, God, because I have so much faith in you in this situation right now that I'm not even going to worry about. If anything, this is just a sign that it's going to be really awesome.
That's right. So that's how we should be. Yeah.
And sometimes I have the peace of mind to think like that. And that's usually when God's given me just this amazing peace and that I've just, the faith is just, I just know it in my heart. So I'm not shakable. And so there are some things that I don't have that peace in my heart and I'm totally insecure. And so one little tiny obstacle, I'm like, oh no, I can't get over this hurdle because my legs are bruised and tired. I can't do it. Santa, pray for me. You just picture me in like a hurdle, just like laying on the hurdle all jacked up, begging for you to give me a prayer.
That voice. When did you do that voice in another podcast about your daddy? What was it? Remember?
I don't know.
Papa.
Yeah. Daddy.
It was Papa.
Papa. Do you love me, Papa?
Where, I don't remember what.
I don't remember what it was either. Papa, can you hear me? Do you love me, Papa?
It was about you in your downward spiral with that reindeer chow or something. That's what it was.
And then somehow it escalated. Oh, yeah, because I was feeling insecure and like fat or something. I was like, Papa, do you love me?
So that's your insecure voice that with the hurdles.
That reindeer chow is the devil. That is.
You will persevere. Is that what you were praying? Lord, I'll persevere through this. One more bite.
After this last bite. Oh, that was a good one. It was salty and sweet. I'm going to do one more. This time get an M&M in it. Yeah. So. Uh-huh. Oh, man. Every day is pretty much like that. And I think I can just get so wrapped up with the babies and that kind of life that it's so good just to be as present as possible, because then you can kind of control your thoughts. We've talked about our thoughts. You mm-hmm. can kind of, when we're feeling a little bit out of control or we just kind of get onto this autopilot, that's when a lot of the times, we loosen up the reins on our thoughts and everything else and it can get out of control. So I feel like these verses that we're kind of focusing on are really building on each other too.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that?
Yeah. Well, that's the whole point. Like we talked last week, it is so important to know what the word says. And I teach my daughter's Sunday school class and we were talking about, Bible verse memorization. And, it's not just to get points in Sunday school class. They give points if you remember these Bible verses. It's the tools that you need in these situations. You need to know what God says and what the apostles say and the promises to combat that situation. Because without it, you're just going to lean on your humankind and you're going to yell back and be angry and nothing's going to fare well from that. That's why you have to know what the word of God says to combat every situation in life, every situation.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting is how quickly we default to like selfishness,
Yeah.
And so I love the church I go to. It's pretty small and, I used to volunteer a lot when I lived downtown because the church is downtown. And once things started to kind of get out of control and I started working on the book, I just couldn't do it anymore. And anyway, Rob and I, once we had the babies and, I wasn't getting much sleep, we hadn't gone for a really long time. And finally I was like, we need to start going back to church. And I love my pastor because he's such a wonderful combination of teaching, because I love teaching. I love history. I love to learn. Like he talked about who James was. And I was like, I've never learned about who James actually was.
Right.
And, and then you get that. I love the motivation. And then I love the conviction. He's just so well-rounded. And I just cherish his wife so much too. Anyway, we went to go drop Lucy off back out at the nursery. And there was nobody back there. And so Lucy just bursted right in and got right into the toys. So I was like, maybe they went to the bathroom or something. So I sat down in the chair with Poppy and I was rocking. And then a couple other parents kind of came in and they kind of looked at me like, oh, hey, are you volunteering? And I was like, no, I don't know who's in charge, actually. And so finally someone kind of came in. And I go, hey, do you know who's someone who I know volunteers a lot? And I go, hey, do you know who's in charge? And she goes, hey, well, read this piece of paper. So So she handed me a piece of paper, and it basically said that there aren't enough volunteers for the demand for the children. So that it wasn't going to start that day until after worship. Instead of before worship, it wasn't going to begin until after worship. And they said, you know, if every parent volunteered one Sunday, then it would be, then you would only have to do it once every 2 to 3 months.
Yeah.
You know, so it kind of explained it that way. Instead of me being like, oh, okay, I'll volunteer. You know what my first thought was? My first thought was, I got to go to a bigger church where they got some resources. That was my first thought, Susanna. I got to go to a big, because we have a huge church. It's almost like we've got a huge church here. It is exactly like the ones you get in Dallas, Texas. A Joel Osteen, T.D. Jakes,
mega
huge, mega,
mega church.
There's three different services going on at one time, and you get to pick what kind of worship you want. And each one the singer should be famous. They're so good. And each one, I'm like, you know what? I want to go and do classical, or I want to do some rock. You know, you just can shoot. It's that big. And I got, and my first thought was, I need to start going there where they got some resources. So my baby can go into a nursery that has a bunch of kids and it's fun. And that was my first selfish thought. And I immediately had to correct myself and say, no, you need to start volunteering. Stupid. Hello. I was embarrassed at my thought.
We've been going to this church for years, and I just recently started teaching these because we've had the same problem. But we have a pretty large church, and we just don't have enough people volunteering for the children's ministry. And so we've been going for years, and I've thought the same thing. You know, okay, we need volunteers. I'm ducking out the back before somebody calls me and asks me to do something, because I'm like, look, church is my time. I'm trying to get away from these kids.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I'm not good with other – I'm not really – I love children and I'm sweet to them, but I'm kind of the adult who's like, hey, you come here, give me a hug. Here's a Snickers. I'll give you a little candy, but I'm not the one who's sitting on the ground with you coloring.
Right.
I just do not have that personality or desire.
I don't either. And a lot of people do. And it's evident which ones do, but I don't
exactly.
either.
Exactly. I love you. I cherish you. You're a doll. Come give Auntie Annie a hug. Here's a little candy. Off you go.
That's right. That's how I do
it. You go to somebody else who's going to take care of you better. And so that's why I've never wanted to volunteer. I mean, I would do anything but that. Like, let me do the coffee in the morning. I would rather do anything but play with kids. But
well, it was actually Jason who inspired me to, because when we started going to church, you know, it took him a while to come around. Now he has a great relationship with the Lord. He's a completely different person. And so when that change took place of him, he started diving into church, diving into volunteering and doing things. I was like, who is this person?
Yeah.
And so I think the Lord kind of used that to say, look, your husband's doing things and he's given his time and he's really great with kids and coaches sports and stuff. So I was like, okay, so finally years after going to this church, I just finally started teaching Sunday school this year. But it took me that long to kind of my heart to soften, and God kind of convicted me about it of, look, what are you doing? What are you giving? You're just there. You're not at church just to get all the time. You've got to give something too.
Yeah.
So, and it's been a great experience. It's been really fulfilling, and I've learned a lot teaching these girls in this class. So, you know, but I was just like you. I was like, okay, let's get out. They just said the volunteer word. Let's go. Quick.
Well, I can tell exactly. And they'll let Rob and I both do it. And Rob is great with kids. But they used to have a policy. They had another woman before then who did not like men involved. And I think it might have had to do with diaper changing and parents just
didn't
come. And I get that. Sure. Like, if I don't know who this guy is and he's changing Lucy's diaper at 2, I could see myself being like, I'm
absolutely
probably okay. But as a couple, they're totally cool with this, you know, as long as I'm in there. And so then I thought, hey, if Rob and I can just do this and it blesses them and it helps them and takes the stress off some people who are probably doing it every Sunday because there's not enough volunteers, then absolutely. But I can tell you, I already suck at it, because as I was in there during the worship, like, I didn't want to take Lucy out and then go to the worship and then come back. So I just let her play in there while I was rocking Poppy. And then some kid came in. I swear he was like 3 maybe, with the whole platter of cookies. So at some point, someone lost control of their kid, probably thought that he was in the nursery, but no one was in charge. So I just let him leave. And so he came in with a whole platter of cookies that was out front by the coffee bar. And just, he was wobbling with it, bumped into the door, dropped it. I didn't know whose kid he was. And I was like, it's okay, baby. Just pick it up. 5 second rule. And then I just let him take the cookies. I was like,
and then
I don't
he wobbled out. He wobbled
and
out.
And then he wobbled back out. I was like, honey, but just, there's nobody in here. So just, you know, so then he wobbled back out, probably dropped him another time. I don't know who he belonged to.
Oh,
nobody
God.
Was in charge. But that's why I don't volunteer regularly.
Did he find his parents, or did you see on the news that there's a kid missing and a platter of cookies?
I never saw him again. I hope it worked out. I don't know where he went, what he did. But that was about the end of that. Anyway, after the worship, the woman came in and I left and listened to the service. But yeah, exactly. It's just amazing the selfish default. I got to get myself into a bigger church that has some resources.
That's just how we were born. We were born with sin. You know, that's why it's so easy for a kid to lie. You know, you got little 2-3-year-old kids lying. They're sinning. Exactly. We're all born with sin. Exactly. And that's, of course, is going to be our first thought and everything. Yeah.
All right, so I'm really kind of excited for this next verse that you've got coming up for us. So we'll dive into what we're going to focus on this week when we get back from this commercial break. You've heard me talk in previous podcasts about as a work full-time at-home mom, I have no choice but to be efficient in every area of my life, and that includes shopping. Running out to the store because we're out of toilet paper is the worst. Well, guess what? I don't have to do that anymore thanks to Jet.com. Save loads of time so you can spend it with your family, and save loads of money so you can spend it on your family. Or yourself on like a pedicure. Whatever. I'm not judging your choices. I'm just saying the most important thing is that you can save it all from the comfort of your couch. And Jet.com has nearly everything you could possibly need, from groceries to household items to even furniture like cribs. My youngest infant has just grown out of her bassinet, and so to save a little money, I checked out Jet.com. And wouldn't you know it, they had the exact crib I had been eyeing online at a very competitive price. It was over $35, so I received fast, free shipping, and I loved that there was no membership fee. The vast selection of items they have available is phenomenal. So guess what? For being our very special listener, we have a code for you to use, just for you, to save $10 off your first 3 orders. Visit Jet.com and enter promo code ASSHOW. That's A as in Anna, S as in Susanna, SHOW. Again, to save $10 off your next 3 orders, that's code for free stuff. Visit Jet.com and enter promo code ASSHOW. Hooray! Free money and lots of things. Have fun shopping. All right, Susanna, hit me. What's this week?
This week is James 1:21, and I've added 22 as well because that kind of ties it all together. Mm-hmm. So James 1:21 and 22 says, "So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the message God has planted in your hearts, for it is strong enough to save your souls." But 22 says, "But be doers of the word, not merely listeners to it." Mm-hmm. So to humbly accept the message is not just to listen to it and in one ear and out the other, but to actually do it.
Yes, exactly. And that this is what, because it's funny how we're like, I love that message when you're not faced with having to use it.
Right.
Like the whole message of forgiveness really feels good.
Yeah.
Until you're in a blind rage and need to like slow down and practice it, you know?
Absolutely. Right. Be doers. I like what the message says too. Let me read what the message says for that part. It says, I have several Bibles. So, you know, I'm such a scholar over here. Such a scholar. It says, "Don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. Those who hear and don't act are like those who glance in the mirror, walk away, and forget what they look like."
That sounded like a cow mooing. That
it
means
sure did.
That means it's hitting me right in the feels.
Oh, that's good. Move it over. That's good stuff right there.
How common is that though, really? How common is that? And you know, you even go to church and you're just like, you know, you got your praise hands And then you leave, and it's like you shed off. You just don't, shake off don't, everything you learned.
Don't keep your relationship with God in a little box on Sunday morning. You got to take it out into the world with you. That's where you're going to need it.
You know what this kind of reminds me of, if I can just frame this in a secular sense? It reminds me of, there's this guy who teaches social media. His name is Gary Vaynerchuk or something. He's pretty crude, cusses a lot, but really inspirational and kind of a nice guy. And he is, he teaches people how to do social media. He's basically like a business coach. And he's been going on and on and on. And he goes, you know what I have found out? He's like, there are some of you guys, he said this in a video, who have been following me for 6 years. And he's like, at some point, y'all need to take what I said and go apply it and be too busy killing it in your business to be coming back hungry for more motivation. Like, my goal is that I motivate you, and then you go off, you learn what I said and you practice it, and then you don't come back, you know? And that is kind of like, it's like we just love to be motivated. We love to feel good. So we kind of go to church, or we listen to certain motivational speakers, or certain pastors that can really make us feel uplifted and feel good and feel encouraged, all positive things. But then we go back to our life and it stays exactly the same.
Right.
We don't make any changes. Yeah, exactly. I mean, how many people are just sitting in the pews, raising their hands, amen, and then they go home back to their same habits, same stuff, and nothing changes in their life for their whole lives, you know?
They have the same hang-ups, addictions, problems, and they're just weeping and crying about it when they've already got the answer to it.
Yeah.
They've already got the answer. And, you know, this scripture, I think, is saying that the Word of God has the power to save us from our sins. It has the power to relieve us, to end our hang-ups and our problems and our worries, but only if it is truly received and welcomed by our hearts.
Right.
So when we pay wholehearted attention to God's Word, and when we apply it, it becomes rooted in us, and it is strong enough to save us only if we actually apply it to our lives. And I've been guilty of that. I've been guilty of that, of having the same issue over and over and over. And I know what the Word says, but, you know, I'm just not really applying it and living by it. And, I know what it says, but I'm not really doing it. Right. It's only until we do it do we see action, and do we see that, you know, the Word in motion.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So it makes me wonder, why is it, because what is it about ourselves? And maybe it's just the sinful nature, but what is it about ourselves that'll go hear a message? First of all, messages are always for somebody else. You know, when you're in the pew listening, you keep looking at your husband, make sure he's listening, because you know that he's the one. You're like, you better perk your ears up, because this message is for you. You know, when it's really for you. So what is it? What is it about? I mean, how do we go from listening and absorbing it and having it speak to our hearts to putting God's Word in action? I mean, what does it take? Because we are human beings are stubborn.
That's what it is. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Stubborn.
Mm-hmm.
And we get so used to things being the way they are, even if we're not happy with them. You know, we're just comfortable with that. Some people are really comfortable in negativity and drama.
Yes.
You know, they're so used to it. That's what they expect. And they complain about it. You know, why does this keep happening to me? Why does this keep happening to me? But it's like they're hanging on to it because that's all they know.
Yeah, exactly. Or even just, they're just comfortable at super low levels of life.
Right.
They're okay going to work, coming home, sitting around, not participating much, not being involved much, and paying bills. And then that's the way their life is for the rest of their life, you know?
It's just our human nature and what we serve. We serve our own human nature. We serve materialistic things. And we serve, you know, gratification in the wrong places and self-worth in the wrong places. And that kind of becomes our God. Yeah. And we don't, and we want to be free. You know, it's hard to explain, but we want to be free of that. But what would we do without it in some, you know, in some instances? We're so used to having that. I think it's kind of gets us out of our comfort zone. Even though we know that's the best thing for us, is to be freed of this certain hang up or sin or addiction or whatever. But I think it just gets us out of our comfort zone.
Well, you know, one of the things that Tony Robbins talks about in one of his early books, and it always sticks out to me because it was so extreme, but he contested that we don't change any behavior until we don't have a choice, until the pain of continuing on is so extreme that like, for instance, if you overeat, one of his recommendations was that if you overeat, the next time you're at a restaurant and you overeat, you get up and you start screaming at your chair saying, like, "You fat pig, how dare you overeat," and humiliate yourself so bad in public that the thought of overeating, that's why it sticks out to me, that message, because I was like, I'd rather be fat than do that. Thank you very much. That sounds horrible. But so anyway, but the whole point of what he was saying is that we have to have such a negative response to something to change. And that we will sit in a low level negativity or a low level depression for years and years and years and years because it's not painful enough. And we tend to always get rescued enough that it becomes palatable, you know? So, you know, money might be really, 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 really tight and you're miserable, but then all of a sudden your income tax return comes and you're like, "Oh, okay, I got a little more, I can last a little bit longer." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So instead of changing your habits, changing your spending habits, really buckling down on the budget, it's like we can just kind of maintain this low level. Or if we're feeling a little kind of low level depressed or kind of melancholy, we can survive at that because, you know, we'll watch a show that makes us laugh or we'll have a few happy moments. And so, you know, we'll maintain bad marriages for a long, long time where we don't take any action on it because, you know, it's okay, instead of working on the marriage and making it better. And so I think that's why James says, welcome obstacles. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing about living in a place like the United States is that so many of our basic needs are taken care of. I mean, clean water is just a given. So we're not tested in so many different areas to improve because there's so many basic needs that are already taken care of just already. I mean, you can be very poor and have a fridge stocked with food in America, not in all cases, of course.
Right.
So, anyway, what a waste that we have to go to such scary lows that someone has to be threatened with divorce or actually have their wife or husband leave them before they change a certain habit. Or, you know, it's such a shame that as human beings, we have to dip down into the depths before we say, okay, something in my life has to change. When really God says, you know, you can live this life now, you know,
right. But, you know, too, like what you just said, though, about the weight loss, you know, all of us are guilty of being so on fire about losing weight. And, oh, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And for the first week, 2 weeks, we do that.
And you start bragging. I don't want to correct you that, but you get on Facebook and you're like, you're putting out memes about the gym.
Right. And you're just on fire for it.
Yeah.
But in our nature, we tend to get bored and worn out and tired. And the same thing comes with obeying the word of God.
Yes.
You know, obeying the word of God requires consistency and diligence. It's not just something that you can just do here or there.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just try it one time and see if it works.
Yeah.
But you have to have that dedication and commitment, like to anything, dedication and commitment to obey the word, whatever the outcome. And only then, once you stick with it, you know, will you start to see how the Lord is working in your life.
Yeah.
So for us to get rid of all, like the verse today says, to get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives, you can't just, you know, say, okay, and go read one Bible verse, just one, and expect to be completely healed of this. In some cases, I do believe in miracles, that God can touch a person and heal them of a thing in an instant. Of course he can. But, you know, if we are really passionate about it, and to act, what it means to be doers of His word means to dive into it consistently and diligently and make that a priority in your life. And then when you start to see God's blessings pouring out, because He wants us to receive His promises. And, you know, He wants us to be responsible and obedient to His word. And so we have to be dedicated to that in order for Him to do what He wants to do, to bless us and to help us and to plant what He says deep into our heart. Listen to what it tells us. Obey Him. And at that point, we'll be a doer of the word, not just a listener. Because I have seasons in my life where I'm just really on fire for for the Lord. And, you know, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And I feel such a close relationship with Him. And then life just kind of gets in the way. And suddenly I'm busy and I kind of put my faith on the back burner. And that I have noticed time. And that's why it's so great to keep a journal, a prayer journal of what's going on in your life. And I've seen that when I kind of put Him in the back, that's when things start messing up. And when He kind of reminds me, hey, you can't do this on your own. You can't keep pushing me back. You need to let me take control of the situation if you want to be happy and receive the blessings that I have for you. And so that's just a big, big part of it. We as just humans put, you know, being on fire about weight loss or a new job or this or a project or even God. God should not be in that box with other things. We should continually be on fire for Him. What does the Bible say? It's better. You're either on fire, but a lukewarm Christian is not an on fire Christian.
And, you know, and God really hates that.
That's
the worst.
He doesn't want a lukewarm Christian.
So it kind of reminds me too. I have a good friend who I could tell has been in a kind of a spiritual malaise for a while.
Like that word.
And they were, I was asking them about it, and they were just like, you know, I reach out to people and they don't even respond to me. And they were feeling really lonely and really, and kind of feeling sorry for themselves, maybe rightfully so, about how lonely they were. And, you know, they would reach out to someone for a spiritual mentor, and then that person's like, oh yeah, well, what time works for you? Let's go grab coffee. And then they would say what time worked for them, and then that person would never write them back. You know, so that was kind of happening. And so they would just kind of ho-humming along, kind of like, well, you know. And I wanted to be like, well, first of all, just like everything, our relationship with God takes work, and you have to show up. And if that if that means it takes a reply email to say, hey, I just wanted to kind of poke you that maybe you missed this message. You know, is there a time that works for you? You know, we can't, because sometimes we let our ego get in the way too, where it's like, well, if that person isn't going to reply me back, then I'm not going to embarrass myself and do a follow up message. You know what I mean? Or if I go to this Bible study and these people are friends and they kind of leave me out, well then, you know, screw them, that kind of thing. And we can kind of get into the relationship of Christianity because we are a family, right? And so if the family kind of disappoints us, we can then just duck out and then quit. And I think I just want to encourage people that just don't do that. Follow up with people, reach out for that support, and don't quit until you kind of find, you don't need a ton of people. You don't need 10 women in prayer circles. You know, sometimes those kind of things can get kind of weird anyway. You know, sometimes you just need one person who loves you, who you can just say, hey, will you pray for me on this particular thing, or someone that you can talk to. But keep trying, keep working at it, follow up with people, call them, just do something. You know, because sometimes we feel like Christianity has to happen to us.
Right.
You know, amen. Like God's going to send people to me. God's going to send the church to me. God's going to send all this stuff to me to meet my needs. And He's like, no, you got to get up and you got to go to church, or you got to go to this group, or you got to show up. And, you know, sometimes if you can't go to church, there's a lot of stuff on TV. You know, kind of reminded me, I made this commitment, and I'm telling you, every time I make a commitment to do something, it crumbles. It completely crumbles. So I'll give you an example. I know that I have to start waking up before the girls to not only get my prayer time in, but to get some of my writing in and to get the day scheduled. And the night I committed to do it and to go to bed, I went to bed at 9:30, and Poppy cried and had teething issues every 45 minutes all night long. Then at 3 o'clock, one of our fire alarms started to chirp.
Oh, no. Of course it did.
Rob couldn't find it. Once he found it, he dismantled it, got back into bed. About half hour later, it started chirping again, dismantled.
Do they ever chirp during the day?
Never. It is always in the middle of the night.
Gosh.
Always.
Always.
So every 45 minutes, the baby is crying because of her teeth are bothering her. And then it chirped. The thing chirped, dismantled as if by magic.
I know. Been there.
Continued to chirp afterwards.
Hanging from the ceiling.
Hanging from the ceiling with no battery in it.
Chirping.
Yep. It was like it was possessed. And yep. I just thought, figures. But these are the kind of obstacles that tend to happen that are supposed to sharpen you, that you're supposed to show up anyway. So I struggle with migraines, and they're kind of hormonal, and I've had a three-day one. But, you know, Excedrin or other medicine can kind of keep it at bay. But I woke up Sunday morning with a pounding headache, and so did Rob. And we had did a fire pit after the girls went to bed that night, and we're like, was it the smoke? What's wrong with us? And I go, well, we better get up and take some medicine because we got to go to church. And, you know, Rob was like, I don't know, babe. We're both got nasty headaches. Maybe we shouldn't go. I was like, no, I will not be defeated. I just refuse. I will not be defeated. I'm going to get up. I'm going to drink tons of water. I'm going to take a little something. And I'm going to trust that by the time we get to church, neither of us have a headache. Sure enough, by the time we got to church, neither of us had a headache.
Amen.
But if I hadn't made these commitments to not be taken down by life circumstances that always drums up when I make a commitment to something, every time, without fail. If I get committed to weight loss, the next day my best friend's going to invite me to a cupcake party or something that I have to go to. It's just whatever I commit to. I commit to exercise, that I'm going to walk every day. And then the next 3 days, it's thunderstorming all day long for 3 days in a row. I mean, that's the way it is with me. And I finally had said, you know what? This is me getting sharpened. And this is me when I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. Whether my hair gets wet or not.
Right.
And so I think that there's so much of our spiritual life that's like that. Like Christianity works for us while it's easy.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden something kind of pops up and we're like, because, you know, one of the things about volunteering means that you got to show up.
That's right. I know. That's right. And that's one of the reasons why I didn't want to do it. I was like, so I can't skip out on church every 6 weeks like I like to do once in a while.
Yeah, exactly. No, because they're waiting on your muffins.
That's right.
You said you're going to bring the muffins. Now you got to show up because you said so.
Well, let me just tell you, the devil loves a lazy person who can't commit.
He loves it. Non-committal people. People who just wafer on their word. That's his favorite.
That's lukewarm right there. And the devil loves it. He loves that it's pouring rain and you can't go get your Fitbit steps. He loves it. Yeah. Even though you've got an elliptical machine right there in your living room.
Yep.
But that didn't cross your mind.
Yep.
He loves it. That's the people he just loves it. He loves to see somebody not living up to their potential and not committing to do something.
And he loves it when we break our commitments and makes us an unreliable person, because we're just
absolutely,
we disappoint people and we stop other people from getting blessings.
That's right.
So when I don't show, when I volunteer for the nursery and I don't show up, and then the other girl who has missed church for the past 6 months now can't get blessed by that message because she has to do it because I didn't show up.
Amen.
So, you know,
preaching the word this morning.
Other than having a flu and a 102 fever in your bed, really, just do it. And it's I really feel like it's amazing, because there's so many times, Susanna, where even just with our platforms or getting out of the podcast for the week, it's just, you know what I mean? Not like I want to get out of it. I love talking with you. But you know when both of us have such busy weeks and we can't seek up, how badly we just want to be like, oh, just forget it. We'll skip a week.
Yeah. I know. Yeah.
And I'll do that with videos, or I'll do that with this or that. And it is amazing when you stick with your commitments, how God works in your life, because you're trustworthy.
That's right.
Because he knows you're going to show up.
That's right.
And how much you can bless other people too.
That's a good word right there. That is a good word.
Well, I haven't figured it all out yet, but I'm learning. And the more obstacles I have, and the more things that are hitting me, the more I'm learning, like, okay, this is all a part of the training. And in some cases, it kind of makes stuff exciting. But as this verse this week kind of tells us, we have mm-hmm. to apply it, mm-hmm. right?
We have to make a commitment to get rid of all that filth and evil in your lives mm-hmm. and accept the message God has planted in your heart, for it is strong enough to save your soul, but be doers. Make a commitment to be a doer of the word and not just a listener.
Yeah. Yeah. And to realize that our thoughts, that the thoughts that come into our lives, sometimes we think that because we think a thing, it's true.
No.
Like, because I thought I need to go to a bigger church with resources, that's true.
No.
No, mm-hmm. it isn't. Most of our thoughts are either gibberish or mm-hmm. lies.
Lies.
Or excuses mm-hmm. or some other kind of mess.
Mm-hmm. That's
so
right.
It's so good to separate yourself from your thoughts and to be like, wow, why did I think that? I thought that because I'm acting selfish. What's the right response? Okay, I'm going to go volunteer.
That's why it's so important to replace those thoughts and lies. Mine are usually lies. I usually have lies just running through my head of mm-hmm. things that, you know, I think sound good or, you know, just lies. And that's why it's so important to replace those with what God says, because that's the ultimate truth. The yeah. ultimate truth, yes. unfallible truth, is the word of God. And that's what we have to replace these lies in our mind with.
Absolutely.
There's nothing in the Bible that says, go to another church because there's not enough nursery workers. Leviticus.
Yeah, exactly.
Thou shall change churches if thou...
If thou wants to dump your baby off for an hour, and thou church doesn't have a lady in there, leave.
If thou nursery ministry does not thrive,
abandon them.
Abandon, flee at once to mega church. So saith the Lord. No, they ain't gonna find that one, Anna. Not gonna find that one.
Plus, that mega church has a climbing wall. It's cool. They've got a free cafe.
Thou shalt be closer to heaven when thou climbst thou wall. Climbest.
They've got a rock band. It's obvious. The choice is clear.
Thou serveth hot coffee. No.
I know. And no insult to that particular pastor, though. But
no,
he doesn't. No. He does that particular pastor at that mega church doesn't. I mean, it doesn't speak to me in the way that this one does. And that's honestly the point. The bells and whistles and the gigantic nursery and the climbing wall and the free cafe mm-hmm. is not. You know, it is a way that they are, serve their population, but it's not
sure.
what I need. It's
sure.
not what I need.
Everybody has an individual need, right?
Exactly.
And if you believe that the Lord has placed you in the right, if you're in the right place, then of course you can't just go to the mega church because they got nursery workers. <you know.
laughs> And explain the situation, you know.
Then you'll join the new church and they'll have you up front. Now, Anna and her husband are coming to us from this other church. Anna, why did you decide to visit us? Because you have nursery workers. Welcome, Anna.
Because your nursery ministry is on point.
Your nursery ministry is on fleek. So we decided to come to give you a show. Do you watch King of the Hill? Do you watch King of the Hill?
I don't. I know. I've seen a few episodes, though, but.
It is the best church, but they leave their church, their little small the church they've always been in, because some new people came and sat on their pew where they've been sitting for 20 years. So they got mad and they left.
Yeah.
They're like, if we can't have our pew, we're out of here. So they went to the mega church across town.
Oh my gosh.
And they gave them those, you know, those buzzers they give you when you're waiting on a table at a restaurant. Yes. They gave them those to take home, and it vibrated at all hours of the night. They're like, we're having foosball at 12 a.m. Come on down. Like, they were bombarded with activities. There was always something going on, you know?
That is so good. So like, good. So true.
Maybe we should just go back and sit somewhere else.
All right. Well, listen, everybody. So here's what we're focusing on. Be doers.
Be doers of the word. Cast off all that nasty sin and be some doers of the word.
Yes.
Quit being held in bondage and complaining about the same thing over and over and do something.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. That is our prayer for all of you this week. And again, if you could pray for me and what's happening with my book. And Susanna, what could you use some prayer for this week?
Stress. I could use some prayer for stress. Okay. I'd appreciate that. Some peace. The peace of God that I know is possible. I'd appreciate prayers for that.
So we're gonna pray for Susanna for stress and some peace, that her stress is alleviated, or that she's able to handle it in a way that is comforting to her. And you guys, as always, you can follow us. You can follow Susanna at WoSusanna. She's on Facebook and Instagram. And same for me. You can follow me at HaHas for HooHas by Anna Lynn Thomas. I go live pretty much every Wednesday, unless my baby is teething like last week. I go live Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock Central. Susanna,
Make a commitment.
I know, exactly. Susanna, you go live every Thursday. What time?
Thursday at 1 Central Standard Time.
1 Central Standard Time. Then, of course, just, you know, keep following us as we put out that content. And we're so thankful for you guys for listening. And you're in our prayers. Keep us in yours. And we'll see you next week.
Sorry.